We meet in our first reading the enigmatic character of Moses. Moses is interesting because, like, when I was a kid, I kind of, we would have the children's Bibles and listen to the children's stories about the different characters. And most of the time, they were pretty much whitewashed. They were these great heroes of the faith, people that we were meant to aspire to. But when you actually read the Bible, when you actually read these stories in the scriptures, it's way more complicated, way more like ordinary life. The Hebrew writers certainly don't mince their words at times in reporting the details of the lives of these so-called heroes. And Moses is certainly no different. When we meet him here in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, he has just murdered one of the other Egyptians. He's tried to cover up that by burying the body in the sand. And then, unfortunately, this fate has come to known, this terrible crime. And so he, rather than facing justice, he flees off into the wilderness and there meets his future wife and gets married and has a family there, using this priest of Midian, so a pagan, a foreigner, and throws himself in with their lot. So it certainly doesn't seem to be, you know, the great heroic story at this point. Then, as we meet him at the beginning of this chapter, he's off trying to look after a flock of sheep in the wilderness. Not an easy thing to do. You know, sheep aren't easy to look after. They really need to be well tended and cared for. In the wilderness, you can't really do that. And so being a shepherd isn't considered a prestigious job. So he's a murderer on the run in the wilderness, looking after a shepherd. So nothing is in his favor at this point. And then he sees this bush being burnt. Nothing perhaps too unusual. But the first great gift of Moses is that he waits long enough to realize that, hey, there's something different about this bush burning because it's not being consumed. You don't notice that straight away. You don't notice that with the attention span that I have. You know, just a few seconds looking at something. If it's not interesting, I look away and find something else bright and shiny to attract my attention. But Moses waited. He was able to see long enough to notice, hey, there's something different about this bush. And it's then that the Lord is able, through the voice of the angel, to address him. And Moses begins to make his way there to the bush. But he's like, wait, hang on. This is holy ground. You must take off your shoes. And still to this day, so many religious traditions still insist and ask people, take off your shoes. This is a place where we need to enter into a different kind of space. For one, your shoes are probably dirty. They've probably got dog poo and all sorts of other things all over it. So we don't want that traipsing around here in this holy space. But also when we're barefoot, we're a little bit more vulnerable. You know, we can't just run across the rocks. We've got to take our time to be a bit more attentive. We have to just be there, be more present in that moment. And so Moses is there presenting himself before God. And he's, you know, got these questions about this Lord that he's heard of. And perhaps he's had, you know, some experience, some encounter with, but of course he's been brought up in the house of Pharaoh. So he probably hasn't got this rich kind of tradition and rich experience of that whole faith background, even though his mother was certainly there as part of his childhood. And so the Lord then tells him, I have remembered, I have seen, I have heard, and I know your plight. At the end of the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 2, the Lord says exactly the same things, but he doesn't say what he knows. He says he remembers the covenant, he's seen, he's heard, and I know. But there's like a dot, dot, dot. We don't know what it is. But what God knows, he sees, he remembers, he hears, is the cry of the people. Their cry of pain, their cry of being slaves, their cry of being abandoned, their cry of not being in that right relationship with the Lord. And so Moses is able to experience that as he remembers this God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of these great, again, heroes, we might say, but deeply flawed individuals, deeply, all kinds of lying, cheating, you know, terrible kinds of characters when you actually read their accounts. But this is the God who's now present before the Lord and now before Moses. And Moses is invited. Go. I want you to be the one who will lead my people free, to set them from this experience of slavery and to lead them into the desert to worship me and to find this place of freedom before they return back to the promised land that they left so many generations before. But Moses is great at making excuses. You know, one of the wonderful things I like about Moses is he's always making excuses about different scenarios and different situations. Oh, no, I can't possibly speak. I'm not a very good speaker. Perhaps, you know, you should get my brother Aaron. He's a much better speaker than I am. People will listen to him. They won't listen to me. And, you know, I hear those excuses deep in my own spirit. And I resonate profoundly with Moses in that moment. But God says, no, I will be there for you if all that you need. So Moses is like, well, okay, well, if I am to go, who shall I say? Who are you? What's your name? How can I introduce the people to you? And it's then that the Lord in Hebrew says, Eya Asha Eya. And it's, you know, much ink has been spilt over the centuries trying to make sense of what is it that God actually reveals in this moment. Eya is simply I am or I will be. Asha, who, what, or that. And again, Eya. Eya Asha Eya. And then he says, and for some reason it's cut out of our lectionary reading, tell him, Eya, I am, has sent me to you. And it's in that experience of the gift of the God who is Eya in this present moment. I am, not in the past, not in all of the things that we have mistakenly done, all of those things that we regret, all of those memories of failed relationships or wounded situations, things that we know we need to make amends for, things that we need to make right within our lives. But God doesn't say, no, I will be found back in the past, in the deep recesses of your memory. God is here in the I am. God is in this present moment. Not in the future, not in all of the thoughts or plans or when we get our lives together, when finally we're able to live this holy life. And I've got rid of all of those sins that I'm trying to avoid, all those things that I'm wanting to get better about, when I've got rid of all of those habits that just distract me and prevent me from living the free kind of life that I am. No, God is I am. God is in this present moment that we are to find him. God is only able to be found here and now, in this moment. That is this gift that God reveals to Moses in this moment. And it's in that moment that we can have a relationship with God. The God is revealing himself in order that Moses is then free to be in relationship with God, but then to invite others, those that he's going to speak to, those that he's going to share this story with. He wants them to be in the same relationship with him. When he returns, when he comes back to this same place here on the holy mountain of Horeb, or Mount Sinai, many chapters later, many months later, but the Lord will finally then reveal himself, not just to Moses, but to all of the nation gathered there. We read the story in Exodus 19, and the Lord speaks these words, these kohens, these words, these noises that are declared to the whole community. They're all able to hear the very voice of God. We're all invited into the same encounter. There's nothing that is meant to separate us or to remove us from this possibility of knowing God and being known by God. The gift of this Lent is this opportunity to get rid of that junk, to forget about all those things in the past that held us back, to not be concerned about the future, not be focused about all of the ways that we might be, what we might become, but today, in this present moment, just to be present to the God of all creation, the God who longs to know us, the God who longs to be our friend, the God who wants to call us deeper into that union, the God who hears the cry, who sees our needs, who wants to respond to our deepest pains, to heal us, to restore us, to renew us, and to bring us to life today.